dealing with the annual performance report of the department. But as usual, we start with those entities that are going to assist us in shaping our understanding. So the Auditor General's office is ready to tell us their findings of the department's performance. So I thought we should sit now and settle and allow them to present to us. Are you ready, Honorable Members?
Yes.
Oh, can we start? Okay. Thank you very, very much. I'm going to hand over to them, but welcome. I know you, some people say you were on recess, but I don't know what recess you've been. Because you've been running around working throughout. But welcome back anyway to the committee meeting. I'm hoping that we will have a productive day. Now, AG's office. They are going to introduce themselves and say who they are, and then they will take us through. I'm hoping that everybody has got a copy of their presentation. Thank you. For once, too late. For once, the Auditor General has sent us too late in this committee. I'm very proud. Very, very proud. We've always been had a presentation from men. So at least there's something happening in the HMO. Over to you, ladies.
Good morning, Honourable Chair and members, and thank you very much for this warm welcome. We really feel welcome now as ladies from the IHS. It's really a pleasure being here. My name is Gunay Meiber. I'm the business executive, and human development is falling in my portfolio. Ahmed is the senior manager that you've been engaging with. He's just dealing with one of his other audits because of the concurrent meeting that he scheduled for today. With me is Tehu Mangma. She is the manager responsible for human settlements. So she's going to assist me in terms of the detailed questions. If we can start then with the presentation, I'd like to take you through the 2015-16 audit outcomes for the human settlements portfolio. You know that as the agent, and we want to enable you in terms of your role, and also in terms of your role of oversight and preparing the beta for our process. So for us, this is a very important engagement, so we can share with you the outcomes of the 15-16 outcomes, the root causes, the reasons behind it, and what needs to happen going forward to improve this picture, and then also to assist you in terms of the role that you are playing in this journey. We have started, and I'm sure most of you are fairly familiar with the audit outcomes and what we do in terms of our mandate. There's three areas that we need to report on or to conclude on. The first one will be the financial statement. We will then say whether the set of financial statements is a fair presentation. Whether it's accurately disclosed, if everything is there, and then we express an opinion on the financial statements. Second of all, we will look at the reliability and the usefulness of performance information. So it is the information that is being reported in the annual performance plan that we then test against supporting documentation to see whether we can place reliance on what has been reported. And then lastly, we do identify certain rules and regulations that we audit and test as we test for compliance. And where there's significant non-compliance with specific rules and regulations, we then report to the audit report. So that is our mandate, and that is the three focus areas that we include and focus on in our audit reports. Then if we look at the key audit outcomes, we have clean audits. And with clean audits, we're really saying that in all three of these areas that we test and report and conclude on, there was no significant findings. So the financial statements is a fair presentation. There's no findings on compliance, and that fully compliant with the laws and regulations that we tested. And then lastly, in terms of the performance information, we are saying that the information is useful, it's relevant, and it's reliable and complete. So there's no findings there. When you go into the financially unqualified opinions worth finding, this is really where this portfolio is sitting. If we go into the detail, we'll see that the entities and the department is sitting in this category. Then we're saying that the financial statements is a fair presentation. But usually this kind of works some audit effort at collection, where we at the end of the day with the collections we have the financial statements as a presentation. But then we do find that there is some compliance findings that has been included in the audit report and all findings on performance information, where it's either not relevant or where it's not reliable. And this is a category, as I say, that is applicable to this portfolio. I'm not going to go into the detail of the audit qualification as it was explained. None of the entities or the department is in these categories, and really they don't want to be in those categories. So if we then move on to the actual outcomes, in terms of the audit outcomes, we are saying that over the 3 years, and we've reported this is also 3 years, so it started from 2013-14 up to 2016, we see that there was a slight regression over the 3 years. And it's basically CISOs that in the first year received a clean audit. They were, there were minimal activities in their first year, so there wasn't a lot to test and to test again. But since then, when they started to be fully functional, they've regressed to financial and qualified good findings, and the reportant and NHBRC, those are the three that we audit as the HSA, they remain the base being financially and qualified now for at least the last 3 years. And that is a concern because there's stagnation in terms of the urgency, the ability for them to have accurate action plans, to implement those plans, to monitor the plan, and to make sure that they can address this finding. If we look at both the department and NHPRC, the things that have been raised in the past, so it's not new things. We are looking at financial statements that had to be corrected for the department. We're looking at procurement processes that haven't been followed for NHPRC at 30 days for the department. It's findings that has been raised in the past, but it's not being adequately followed up. The action plans are not being implemented, monitored to make sure that they do get the results at the end of the day to improve. Then if we look at the compliance, and I've already started on that, I mean if we look over the last 2 years, the department, CISOs and NHPRC, both are all three had the findings. We are looking at the key ones, as I already mentioned, is the financial statements, where they don't have processes in here to make sure that we have documentation, we have review processes, we have accurate information, so by the time that we prepare financial statements, we can just draw that information and prepare the financial statements that is accurate and complete. In absence of that, we also see that other review processes, for instance, internal audit can play a bigger role to make sure that they review the draft financial statements before it's submitted for audit purposes. So that, and where they raise findings, management needs to go back and they need to implement those findings to make sure by the time that we receive the financial statements for audit purposes that it's accurate and complete. Then we also see that irregular expenditure, the prevention of irregular expenditure, procurement, and the procurement processes. There was no irregular expenditure identified at this point. So they are really very thorough in terms of their processes to prevent irregular expenditure. But we did identify irregular expenditure at both NHPRC and the CISOs. And they will have to look at their processes to make sure that they can detect and prevent irregular or processes to make sure that they comply with the required processes to have fair and equitable procurement processes. And then the last one is the 30-day payments. We've identified that at the department. There is a drive to say that suppliers must be paid within 30 days, yet at the department, despite the fact that this has been reported previously, there is still instances where we've identified where suppliers has been paid later than 30 days without sufficient supporting to say the invoice wasn't accurate or there was something that we need to follow up. It was just the case that we've received the invoice and the processes didn't support it to say that before the 30 days lapsed, payment should occur. Then the third area is in terms of the performance information, and there's two columns there that we put into. The first one will refer to the usefulness. So in terms of usefulness, we will say, is it specific, measurable, time-bound, so is it smart? We also look there to say, is it in line with the mandate? of the department or the entity. And there we've identified that for the 15-16 year, there was two indicators at CSOS that wasn't in line with the mandate. So as a result of that, we've identified and reported that there was indicators included in the plan that wasn't relevant to CSOS. And in future, going forward, they will have to make sure that whatever they include in the plan is relevant and in line with the mandate, because it did meet the SMART criteria. Then when we look at reliability, and that we trace the information that is reported through to the supporting documentation. So we will see if they've reported 10, we will see if we can identify and see the supporting documentation supporting them. We'll also trace it from the supporting documentation to see whether everything that should have been reported has been reported. And then we found at NHPRC, we did identify that there was a complete position, everything wasn't fully reported as they could have and should have reported. And this is both in terms of performance information, links to their processes, the review, oversight, the monitoring to make sure that the information is accurate and reliable. If we then go to the status of the key controls, and we all know that in terms of the key controls, that will drive and support the departments and entities to move towards green. So we say if leadership is providing oversight, making sure that the capacity is there, making sure that action plans is implemented, that the IT systems is in place, they will support the finance system, the finance staff should make sure that the daily and monthly controls are in place, that the reconciliations are performed, that there's a review, that the documentation is being maintained, that it's kept available, so they are responsible for the day-to-day maintenance and management of the information. And then lastly, we also look at the governance structures, where it is your risk identification, internal audit, and the audit committees. And we are saying that if these structures are in place, and that they're doing the key controls, they should be in a position to achieve a clean audit outcome. When we look at leadership, we actually see that there has been some regression from the previous year, and we've noted regression in terms of the department and CSOS, and it's basically in terms of oversight. There should be enhanced oversight from the financial information and the performance information to make sure that information is accurate, reliable, complete, and timely available. And then the bigger part is more in terms of the day-to-day activities. The finance unit and their activities. There we see significant or a number of regressions in terms of the daily and monthly control. They really need to have the discipline to deal with a document, to review it, to make sure the supporting documentation is there, to file it so that it can be retrieved. They need to make sure that they prepare regular financial statements, review it, audit it, and make sure that throughout the year the information is accurate and reliable. And we've seen that that process is lacking, and as a result we got to a point where financial statements had to be corrected after it has been submitted. And then regular, accurate, and complete financial performance reports, and that's also talking to the timing. You can't just go and at year end want to prepare financial information, prudent information, and expect that everything is going to be there. It should be a process that happens every day. In terms of governance, there we see that most of the governance structures are in place and is functioning. Audit committees is working. Internal audit committees have been identified as being in place. When we look at the assurance provided per level, we know that there's also three levels. The first level will be your first tier is the senior managers, the CFO, the finance people, the accounting officer, and the executive authority. When we look at senior manager, and it links directly to the key controls that I've just mentioned, there's none of the first level that we are saying that provided full assurance. Because what we're seeing is repeat findings. Year after year, there's repeat findings. So for them to provide assurance, they need to address these repeat findings. Make sure that they focus on the 30-day payment, they focus on their financial statement preparation processes. For CSOS and NHPRC, they focus on the procurement processes. Then the accounting officer, it links to the CEOs, the DG, assess that the same because they get the information from the CFO, they have monthly meetings, and what you're saying is in terms of their review and their monitoring and making sure that there's consequences for the things that they expect to be implemented, they need to play the more significant role. And then coming to the executive authority, it once again linked, when we go into the commitments, we will see that there is commitments to say, let's meet with the chairpersons of the audit committee, let's get information from the accounting officers. So the information is being provided, but the actions to improve the follow-up as a consequence management, that needs to be enhanced. Then if we go to the second level, it's the internal audit and audit committees. So for internal audit, we said that at NHBRC, they provide adequate assurance from an internal audit unit. But for the department and CISOs, we said that there is some assurance that's being provided. And it's basically because of these repeat findings. Because internal audit also focus on the same things that we focus, but we don't see that there's any improvement as a result of the work and the recommendations that they are bringing in. At CISOs, we've also identified some capacity constraints, and they should also focus in terms of the skills and capacity for the internal audit. Then audit committee, for all three, we said that we've seen that they provide adequate assurance, and it's because they follow up, they ask the right questions, they make the right recommendations, they keep on following up, and they're dependent on management to go and implement their recommendations. So for management, we'll have to go and be more attentive to what the audit committee is recommending, and they need to be following through on those recommendations. So at the end of the day, that there's alignment between the efforts that the audit committee is putting in, the recommendations that they're making, and the actual audit outcomes at the end of the day. And then from the portfolio committee side, we know that from the portfolio committee, there's various roles that you play, and you don't only look at the audit outcomes and the role in terms of the entities. We've only looked at that portion, and we're saying, in terms of your role to have robust engagements with the departments, with the entities, that is in place, follow-up is there, monitoring is there, and for that reason, adequate assurance and, has been provided by the portfolio committee. To go to a bit more detail in terms of the performance information, on this slide, we are saying we identify the departments, two entities. We've identified the programs that we've selected, the objectives that we selected for audit, and we indicate the outcomes in terms of usefulness and reliability. So we can see that for the department, we've tested three programs. There was no findings on usefulness, there was no findings on reliability. So the performance information, there was no findings. For NHBRC, we tested two programs, no findings on usefulness, but we did find in terms of program two for regulation that some of the performance information we couldn't test for the completeness. So what it means is when we went to the source documentation, we would find source documentation, but they didn't necessarily report it as part of their performance. And that just means that they need to enhance their process to make sure that they can collect all the information and accurately report on it. Then when we go to CISOs, we've selected and tested three objectives. There was no findings in terms of reliability, but as previously mentioned, under objective four, there was two indicators that was not in line with the mandate, which shouldn't have been part of the plan. Then a bit more detail in terms of compliance that we see. I've spoken a lot about financial statements. This is really the regression that we've seen there last year. We've only identified it at the department. This year we've identified it at the department and at CISOs. So there's one more entity that we had to raise the fact that material corrections had to be made to financial statements to prevent the qualification. If they didn't do the correction, they would have had a qualification. Then in terms of prevention of unauthorized irregular and fruitless investment expenditure, there was also a regression this year. This two entities, NHBRC and CISOs, where that was raised and reported in the audit report, and the same with the management and procurement of contact, both at NHBRC and CISOs. So with procurement, it's about the process that they follow to make sure that there's fair processes. They need to make sure that amounts above 500,000, they go out of the tender process and allow everybody equal opportunity to tender and to be part of the process. For amounts less than 500,000, it's the quotation process. Tax certificates that must be in place, triple B certificates that must be in place. So this is all about the process to make it fair and equitable for all suppliers. And then the procurement, the management of the contract will lead to, once I have a contract in place, I need to monitor that contract to say, I need to stay within the approved amount. The conditions need to be adhered. So the contract in place must be maintained, it must be monitored so that we stay within the conditions. And then the last one was 30 days when it was reported to the department that they didn't in all instances pay suppliers within 30 days. Quality of financial statements, but it's just showing that should they have not corrected the material misstatements for the department and CISOs, they would have been qualified. And last year it was the department that might have been qualified if they didn't correct. And going on, in terms of unauthorized irregular expenditures and wasteful expenditure, no unauthorized expenditure has been identified. Unauthorized expenditure will be where the department expends more than the voted funds, more than the budget, if they pay for things that is outside the mandate. But there was no unauthorized expenditure that was identified. In terms of fruitless and wasteful expenditure, the definition there is to say that this is expenditure that has been made in vain. So they could have prevented it if they took due care to make sure that it doesn't occur. We've identified in total for the portfolio a quarter of $1 million rand, so it's 250,000 rand. 175,000 rand of this fruitless and wasteful expenditure was at the department. And it was mainly as a result of renting vehicles while they had official vehicles. So they already had the vehicles there, but went out and rented vehicles. It could have been prevented if they used the official vehicles. Then there was 62,000 at NHBRC, and they paid interest and penalties to SARS due to late payments in terms of our obligations to SARS. And then 11,000 at CISOs, there was some cancellation of traveling. There was better planning, better prevention. It could have been prevented, and the traveling could have continued. Then, in terms of irregular expenditure, as I said, it links to the processes, making sure that everybody has a fair opportunity, is all the documentation there that should be there, when it should be there. In total for the portfolio, there was 21, almost 22 million rand that was identified. Once again, as I previously mentioned, nothing for the department. No irregular expenditure incurred for the department. In HBRC, they've incurred the majority of this 21 million. They've incurred 13.5 million rand. And it's basically as a result of multi-year contracts. So initially when they entered into the contracts, they didn't follow the process. But because it's running over more than 1 year, as they make payment to this contract, they incurred irregular expenditure. And then at CISOs, they've incurred 8.4 million rand of irregular expenditure. And what we've identified there, the same with the internal audit, is leading to capacity and better understanding. They really need to go and make sure that they go on training, that they understand the processes, the requirements. There's a lot of requirements, but they need to equip themselves to make sure that they're in a position to comply with these requirements. Then if we break it down a bit further, so in this total, there's almost 22 million rand that was identified as irregular expenditure. 67% of that was as a result of them not going out on tender, not getting the quotations, so it wasn't a fair process. That was 67%. And the remaining, the 33% of it in HPRC, where there was employees that was awarded contracts. It's not prohibited, they can do it, but what they need to do is they need to disclose it, that they do have this contract, and they need to disclose and to declare this interest. And because that wasn't in place, it is regarded as irregular. In terms of the PFMA, there should be follow-up, there should be investigation. In terms of irregular expenditure, we can see the department don't have irregular expenditure where they had the past was investigated, but for the CISOs and NHPRC, we don't see that the investigation is happening as is required by the BFMA. So they need to implement those processes, to follow up, investigate, and to implement corrective actions when necessary. If we look at the root causes for the portfolio, as I mentioned, it's really inflation, the complacency in terms of the outcomes, because we see it in the findings. But the two key root causes is low resource fund management. We find it has been identified, it has been communicated. There should be more urgency in terms of making sure the action plan is relevant, is implemented, is followed up, and where people don't follow up, there should be consequences for collective action. And that is then also our second root cause. So, of course, everybody is familiar with this outcome. There is action plan. I mean, if I do something wrong and nothing happens, I'm going to continue to do the wrong thing. We don't say fire people, but there is processes and there should be actions to say, let's see how we can correct action to improve the outcome. Then in terms of the commitments that was made by the minister, it basically refers to the CFO that should have monthly progress on the action plan, report to the accounting officer report quarterly to the audit committee, and there's engagement between the minister and the audit committee, minister and the accounting officers. This is in process and it has happened during the year. Where we say it wasn't implemented is in terms of monthly financial statements. I mean, if the monthly processes was in place, there wouldn't have been two entities that had to make the legal collections to financial statements. So that still needs a bit of more attention to say, how do we enhance more regular? And this is saying monthly, but if it's quarterly, it will also assist. So there should be regular processes, collecting information, prepare financial statements, review the financial statements, and then see how we can make sure that information is accurate. And then going forward in terms of portfolio committee, we just say in terms of what you've been doing, we recommend that this continue and it should focus on getting feedback from the department and entities on the key controls, getting feedback from the entities in terms of consequence management at the department on where this connection is actually needed. Is to specifically ask and inquire to say, what are you doing about it? How is this being addressed? And then the follow up in terms of the action plan. They are following up on it. Implemented corrective action is there. The action plan should assist and drive the audit outcome to then what we've added is the same performance by provinces, but we really want to focus on follow the money. For the department, they have this human settlement development grant with the purpose to build cohesive and sustainable communities within the country. The total budget that the department received is around 18 billion rand, 18 billion rand that the department received. So we said, so in terms of our mandate, we need to look at the financial statements, we look at the compliance with laws, we look at the accuracy and reliability of performance information. So if we trace this 18 billion, what do we see in terms of our mandate and the work that we've done? So out of this 18 billion they've spent in the portfolio over the nine provinces, they've spent 97%. So if we look at Gauteng, I think I would like to highlight that. The blue bar is saying the grant spent, what they've received. So they've 100% spent. But they've underperformed in terms of the sites that they service. They've underperformed in terms of the houses that they've built. Then at Limpopo, they received everything, but they didn't spend everything. And that was basically because of the processes that is not fully in place at Limpopo, the procurement and the supply chain management processes that is not in place. Despite the fact that they haven't spent everything, they still managed to build a significant number of houses. And then the planned site service is also, it's just over 50%. And then Northwest, they received everything, they they've spent everything, and I think they did well in terms of their deliverables because they've delivered almost 150% in terms of the sites that they service. If we then go over to the financial management and the financial statements, we can see that there's three provinces that have qualifications relating to the funds that they've received from the department on the development grant. And that was Free State, KZN, and Northwest. And it really links to the prevention of irregular expenditure. So it also talks to their procurement process. Once they receive this fund, they need to make sure that their processes is in place so that there's fair processes in appointing service providers to go and assist and do what they need to do with the fund. In terms of compliance, that is the area where there's most concern. You can see there's a lot of areas and a lot of the provinces where there was findings. 7 out of the 9 provinces received non-compliance findings relating to this funds of the development grant. Once again, it's prevention of irregular expenditure, procurement, and then 30-day payments as well in the provinces where we've identified that they didn't necessarily pay the service providers within the required 30 days. And then in terms of what they've reported in terms of their performance, there we've identified usefulness, so the information or the indicators wasn't useful, smart, relevant, what they planned initially, and that was at Free State, Housing, and Northwest. And then the reliability, we've identified at 5 of the provinces, where there wasn't supporting information to confirm that what they reported was actually reliable and accurate. So that is just giving a picture in terms of the 18 billion. And if you trace it through to the end where the province is spending, what happened and how did they deal with that when it comes transferred to them? The next slide is just giving a bit of detail in the statement. If you look at the root causes for this, we see that there's poor planning, there's lack of coordination between departments and other stakeholders. And then we've also seen that in some instances that this funds weren't used for the purposes that it was intended. Where it was used for bulk infrastructure, for instance, it wasn't helping. So they receive the money and then there's no processes to make sure that it goes for the purpose that it should have been. Financial management, I mean it's about the qualification and leadership's responsiveness to make sure that the process is there so that they have the information and can accurately report. Compliance goes back to monitoring and review, making sure that provinces also comply with their processes so that they can comply and make their findings. And then predetermined objectives, it's about the once again, monitoring, review, having systems in place to make sure that the information that is there is accurate, is supported, and it can be relied on what is included in that interview. I mean, as a last slide, there is a couple of entities that we at the agencies are going to audit from our side, and we just want to give you the outcomes for those. We see that there is 5 of these entities that has been financially unqualified with no other findings. So financial statements is fair presented, they have no non-compliance, they have no findings of performance information. We did see that at Mercia that there was a slight deviation. In 13-14 they haven't had findings of performance information, and then from 14-15 and 15-16 there was findings on performance information, and they also have findings on compliance. And then at STRA, the same. Financially unqualified, but they do have findings on both performance information and compliance. And that is just high level the outcomes of the entities that we don't order. And I think from my side, that is the presentation on the outcome 16 for the human settlements program. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you so much. Any clarities from members that for your own understanding so that when you interact with the one with the department, you know what's the age of this personal
look. Thank you very much, and thank you very much for the presentation. My questions are brief. oversight? Is it the department or the senior leadership of the department looking into the department itself or the oversight that it's supposed to provide to the entities, especially the entities that you do audit? So just to be clear, that which kind of oversight is it lacking from the senior management team of the department? And then secondly, the issue of the 30-day supplier payment. Was there any reason that was given by the department on why in some instances they are unable to meet the 30-day stipulated time period for payment of suppliers? Because I think it would be interesting, because sometimes we get reports that the supplier didn't put in correct invoices were missing something. So what kind of reasons were given by the department on why they are unable to pay in this day? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Ghana. Any more questions? Honorable Makowski.
Thank you, Chairperson. Madam, in your presentation, you mentioned the number of issues, the regular expenditure in all financial statements and accountability, and many indicators that were not relevant. Are you at some stage engaging with the department to provide the facts? You mentioned 3 years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, there were a number of issues specifically those that are identified. Are you advising the department to support or how to be able to account properly? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Makowski. Any other clarity or question from the Honorable Makowski?
Yeah, it's not very
good. Thank you very much. Probably before you respond, I think it's important that we hear very clear both NHPRC and the department, 3 years in a row, again, unqualified some fine, and obviously there were actually blamed that they were suffering. And I think in your presentation you say there's actually blamed, there were nothing to do. Now, this is clear. Now, when you were interacting with them this day, when you were discussing this report, what are they saying is probably the problem in them not action plans, so that we can understand how they have responded to the questions. Action plans are done, but they are not implemented. So when you interact with them, what are they saying in the action?
Following up on disputes should not take more than 30 days. and where there are valid reasons as to why an invoice was not paid within 30 days, you'll see that we consider it as not a valid finding. Therefore, we'll not include it as a finding on 30 days. But where the reasons given are not valid, then it would be a valid 30 day finding. And then with regards to action plans, the problem with action plans is that they are there. They've got the action plans, and on a quarterly basis, the action plans are presented to the audit committee. But during the year, I think what happens is there's nobody going back to say, is this action being implemented? We said we're going to do 1, 2, 3. Is this being done? How far are we with regards to doing that? So there's no monitoring of this action plan. There's no reviewing on it on a monthly basis, so to say. Because quarterly, I feel it's a bit late to monitor the action plan. So there should be sort of like a responsibility given to someone to say, review and monitor the progress of the action plan. And unfortunately, the department has not been able to give us the reasons as to why that is not done.
Thank you very much. We are setting up the best. I think that's really nice.
No, I just want to, just a quick one on the findings, okay, the action plans on the findings. We have the hard copy of that with regards to this. Well, when you talk action plans, it means that you may be in a position of what action plan has said. We have that on the basis of this engagement, in fact, to say to the committee, these were the timelines that we agreed upon, and therefore they've not been achieved. Rather, just to be general,
we have the action plan, but we don't have it with us now. I would, however, propose that you first ask the department for this action plan. I mean, it is their document, but they should maybe have it already available.
That's a very proper response to that, Dr. Chowdhury. That question you must ask to the department is their standard. And then, but otherwise, thank you very much. Office of the Auditor General, I think the presentation is at a lot. When we interact with the department in the afternoon, we will look very clear, because we will be using your information.
Uh-huh.
And they would think, why are they so brilliant? Because you have that resource so much. I think we're done with this presentation, and I think we've exhausted what we wanted to ask the Financial Fiscal Commission. I think they must now come and add to our wisdom. We are here trying to get some wisdom.
Mr. Mayor.
I'd like to
present
the situation. Firstly, it's myself, Azuma Raj Dara, the Commission Secretary. Before it is delegation, also our Honorable Chairperson, our Commission is facing severe apology due to prior arrangements. However, I was being Secretary this year. Dr. Ramos Mabogo unfortunately has some slight challenges, but he will join us halfway through the presentation. On my extreme right is Mr. Eddie Rakaba, who is our program manager for the fiscal policy chairperson. And then we have Mr. Sabelo Mchacho, who is the senior researcher also in the fiscal policy. Ms. Dasha Peaches is right next to me, who is the program manager in the National Budget Analysis Unit. And my thank you.
Thank you very much and welcome to this portfolio committee on human settlements. It's not every time we see you here because we know everyone see you once a year. So when we interact with you, we would want to have in-depth information and knowledge from you so that you can get what over to you.
Thank you so much, Chairperson. In our presentation outline for this morning, it will be regarding the role and function of the Financial and Fiscal Commission. We will then look at the mandate of the Department of Human Settlements and Housing Policy Framework. Thereafter, Chair, we will look at the human settlements and macroeconomic environment, as well as the budget analysis and performance, and then we will furnish our conclusion. The role and function of the FFC essentially is that it is an independent, permanent statutory institution that is established in terms of Section 220 of the Constitution, as well as its enabling legislation in the Financial and Fiscal Commission Act of 1997 as amended. And the presentation today functions that enables and the mandate that enables the FFC to operate is within the Constitution and its enabling legislation. The mandate of the FFC is to make recommendations as envisaged in Chapter 13 of the Constitution or in national legislation to the three spheres of government as determined by national legislation. The Commission's focus is primarily on the equitable division of nationally collected revenue amongst the three spheres of government and any other financial or fiscal matters. Legislative provisions or executive decisions that affect either provincial or local government from a financial or fiscal perspective, which includes regulations associated with legislation that may amend or extend such legislation. So in this respect, the Commission must be concerned in terms of the FFC Act. I now will hand over to
thank you, Chairperson. I will take you through the broad overview of the housing, the human settlement, and then Mr. Mchacho will take you, the committee, through the budget analysis and the performance that Ms. Dora has mentioned. Just as a start, Chairperson, if you take the papers of the Department of Human Settlement and the strategic goals for 2018-2040, and I I like to think that the committee is fully aware of some of this, but I will just briefly go through some of the mandate, which is to facilitate the creation of sustainable human settlement and also improve the quality of the lives of the household. Now, Chairperson, what we look at is the department, the department has goals that are outlined in the annual performance plan, and the FRP says that part of the goal is for effective and efficient administration, an effective and efficient policy framework, look at the delivery of sustainable human settlement, as well as effective oversight of human settlement delivery, as we just heard from the previous presentation by the Auditor General. Now, Chairperson, looking at the medium-term strategic framework, we look at some of the deliverables of the department and some of the things that they have set as their priority includes improved quality of life by providing approximately 1.4 million more households with new or improved housing partition, to also intervene in the residential property market with a target of about 110,000 new housing units delivered in the affordable care market, to also enhance institutional capacity with a target of about of providing for 9 municipality accreditation for the delivery of the housing function, to provide HUD bids for 563,000 new subsidized housing units and address the backlog of another 900,000 HUD bids. As we all know, we had a numerous problem with this issue of HUD bids, and it's good to notice that the department has also put this in their media transparency program. The last one is to expand and the informal settlement upgrade to cover almost about 750,000 households. Now, we also looked at the housing policy regime since 2009 just to assess where we're coming from with the housing policy. From 2009, what we note there is that we've seen the adoption of outcome 8 as well as the outline also in the national development plan. We've seen the introduction of a state guarantee fund for the housing gap market called the finance linked individual subsidy program, targeting the people who are not unable to qualify for the general housing subsidy but also unable to qualify for the bonded housing. We also seen the establishment of the municipal household capacity grant to assist households on housing function shift, but also at the same time, which is almost a concern to ourselves, is that we've seen the discontinuation of the capacity grant due to a number of policy issues which are coming around later. We also noting the uncertainty with regards to housing function shift and the revision of the accreditation approach, which is yet to be finalized for implementation by the department. There has been a slowdown in accreditation to all municipalities at all levels of accreditation. We've also seen the transfer of the sanitation function from the Department of Human Settlement to the Department of Water and Sanitation. And most worryingly, what we know is that we see increasing contraction in the number of housing demand. We have, as it's shown on the graph, especially today, we see a decline in the number of units in the market. But just from 2014, what we know is that there's a bit of improvement, which we're hoping that the department may have turned the tide against that declining trend. Looking at the whole issue of housing human settlement, the economic performance, Chairperson here, I think what we want to note here is that housing affordability directly leads to the state of the economy, particularly with respect to affordability. We all know that the number of people cannot afford to get bonded housing. And partly the main reason is because we've got high level of indebtedness, but at the same time, we're also seeing the average price of a house is increasing at a faster pace. Today, as we speak, an average house purchase price for a house is sitting at about 1 million rand. And for people who've got very low income levels, obviously, it's a very good problem, but at the same time, that also means that we've got a number of people who now have to rely on space for the provision of house. We also noticed that households are spending more on consumer goods and other on consumer goods, and that policy gives them very little money to available to provide for their own houses, which again means that the state now has to take responsibility for providing this household with housing. We have also seen recently that the interest rates have been rising very sharply. Because of the economic performance, and that again has got an implication for people who now have to finance their bonds, because a lot of their money is must go to the servicing of the debt rather than the actual providing for the other household needs. Now, we all know we've got a very serious unemployment problem in the country, and it's particularly affecting the youth. And this again has got implications for the housing policy, because what it means is that the people who are going to be the beneficiaries of the housing subsidy program are will be mainly our
time we've got people who are much older who are earning very low income levels. But so that then means that there's competition for subsidized housing between the youth and the people and the adults. So again, if under the unemployment situation doesn't increase, we therefore have now implications for the especially the human settlement development card, the HSDG, which we are using to provide subsidized housing to the poor. But again, what is very good again here is that the national budget allocation for the permanent housing has been rising sharply. We've seen from about 2007, the budget has increased from just under 10 billion rand, and now sitting just under 35 billion rand in the next MTF growth. But at the same time, while we see this increase in the allocations to the department, the percentage growth rate in the allocation to the department is declining. All of the reasons for the economy is not being worse. So we are seeing the decline in the growth rate for the department allocation. But what is very good is that even with this decline, we are starting to see an increase in the number of houses delivered by the department. Hopefully, in the next coming years, we will achieve that trend going up. With your permission, I would like to ask Inspector Chanda to now continue the presentation and the overview of the budget performance.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. What I'll do, I'll just drill down to the allocation of the finance itself. Then what we see here, that out of the whole share that go to the vote, the department, then what we've noticed that the program that is the most important or the one that consumes a lot of resources is program 4 of the department. And that program covers a lot of issues, and it has HSDG, that is Human Settlement Development Grant, USDG, and the capacity grant. And then look at that program and alone, out of the total allocation of over 30 million, or over 30 billion, then 29 billion goes to this program. Then it is clear that this is the key program. And if you look at it, then it's not by the state, because all these other targets that have been set by the government, like the sites that should be serviced, the number of how the units to be delivered, are all housed under this program. And then now, all these other program, 1, 2, and 3, they only constitute only 2% of total allocation. Then here, it's like what we're trying to say here, if you look at the average spending, we know the AG has covered the performance, but here we're just trying to track from 2009-10 financial year to 2015-16 financial year to say on average, we see the overall performance of the department has been good, reasonable, I'll say so, because average is about 98%, meaning that government and the department is spending almost all allocation, but only about 2% underspending. But what you've seen here is that in 2013, there was just a drop with regard to the spending, just around 97%, and this was driven mainly by the understanding of HSDG in the POPO and the Eastern province. But now there's improvement in those provinces, which is a good thing. And also the other thing that led to this understanding was the Rural Household Infrastructure Grant, which had to do with sanitation backlogs. But now since this has been now shifted to the Water and Sanitation Department. Okay, now performance by program. From 2009 to 2016. What it's saying here, if you look at program 1, it started very bad, or a little bit bad, below 80%, that's 9, 10, and it improved. For the last 2 years there, 2014-15 and 2015, you see that is an improvement. And then it's a good improvement with the response with regard to program one. For program two, there's been up and down, but again, last 2 years, there are some improvements. I think the problem is with program three. You see where it started below 50% in 2009-10, and then dropped 2018, again it was still low, and even now, 2015-16, it's still underperforming if you look at it, that green bar. And then program four has been performing quite well over these years. Why the performance is good here, overall performance, particularly for 2015-16, the Commission is concerned with respect to the following programs, and then this one relates to the HSDG, the funding which was around 908 million, which was taken from the Gauteng province. And this was not on capacity basis, it was just for on administrative reasons. One of the reasons why the Commission is concerned is because the Western Cape and the Gauteng provinces are the ones that are experiencing high volumes of people migrating to those provinces. And we believe that the provinces and municipalities they do have, and they are consisting of metros, and we believe that there is some capacity there. So, and as a result, we'll see, as I present one point, to say the man that was taken here. As AG has presented, set on the output of the housing as a province. Because previous years, housing has been performing well in terms of size and units delivered, the ANA. But since this has happened, then you'll see there's a drop. And again, performance remains poor with respect to the USDG. And again, this is a concern because USDG primarily for metros which we all believe that they do have capacity. And for them to perform that we don't know what are the challenges. And this USDG is so key in the whole trade environment. Okay, here now you will see that this is the performance of, we're trying to compare what was planned for the last financial year and what was delivered. So here you see we have a number of sites and substructure delivered. So what you see here, I will just try to relate this to which I mentioned before around the Gauteng where the money was taken. For example, you see here, Gauteng here, the performance has been affected negatively because of that money that was taken, among other things. Because it had achieved just on sites, just over 50%, then on the units, it's just around 50%, it's unlike of Gauteng. So, going forward, to compare. Okay, here we've selected some indicators. Not to say department did very well, MMN did very bad. There are some instances where the department has over-delivered, has over-achieved. But here we're just highlighting some of the programs or the plans target that were missed and trying to quantify it to say they've missed that target by 5%. For example, here we're saying an informal settlement upgrade. So they spent a target of 460 and they delivered 1076, which is about 16.5%. And then on here the target was 150,000 households to be upgraded to 22, and then the delivery was 52,000, which was equivalent to around 35%. So these were some of the evidence that we did see. And the one of the important intervention which was established about this list, which my colleague explained here, that it tried to fill, to finance that gap market, and then again, it's underperforming, it achieved only about 70%. Then there are some challenges around these programs, which are key programs, which development has to look at it. So here, we picked only two entities that are key, that had underperformed. The SHRA, which is social housing that breaks through operates. So here, the performance, the understanding was high. It was 28% of 143 million that was transferred. Then the HDA again, HDA plays a key role in this sector because it has to make sure that there is a developable land for human settlements delivered. But again, performance there was also poor. And also looking back in terms of percentages, in 2015-16, the spending was only 85%. And then now, because in most cases, the programs or the housing units that should be delivered, and then this HDA is to play a vital role. And then if there's an underperformance here, it means that the department has to look seriously on this so to improve performance. So, Chair, here, the FSC tabled or made a presentation last year in this committee. And then a number of issues were raised. So here we thought that we need to revisit some of the issues because the agreement was the request from the committee was that we come back and make a presentation, but it didn't materialize because due to some reasons. Now we decided to say yes, just put that part here to update the committee what has happened. So what has happened, we did meet with the Department of Human Settlement to discuss that issue around accreditation that were requested by the committee. And then we ascertained in the process that the accreditation loss is faced because of some new development within the department, which has led to some changes on the approach in which accreditation would be handled. And then here is just to highlight what has happened, the new approach that has been recommended by the department or is under process now has four stages. First and stage one, where it's level one municipality, and municipality accredited is level one, and then this would mean that municipality would have to get full support from the province. And then level two, the municipality will administer only one program, and again, the province will play a vital role. And the optimum, which is level two, include combine level one and two at an advanced stage, then it's where now the municipality will be given more than one housing program, but again, there will be support from the province. And it will be a developmental one, now it won't be just a blanket approach as it used to be. So this is what we did as a setting. And while we see this development, we do support this development as FHC, but we're just hoping that the department could just fast track the finalization of the new revised framework. So the commission is also concerned about the performance of program 3 as I presented it here. And then we recommended even in the previous engagements that the key reasons for this should be understood by department, and the department should develop some plans to improve this. But seemingly, it takes time for the department to do that. And again, touching on selected or the general findings, we agree, we have looked through it, and then we've seen a consistent understanding on program 3, and here, since 2013, you see this spending has been below 60%, and now it's going down to 28% this financial year, last financial year, which is 2015. And the program is historically understanding. other indicators the children are understanding the program to the case before, mainly because of the ARIC, but now since ARIC has been taken out, and we've seen that department has improved in 2016, there's no material understanding found under that program, that program too. And we're seeing again some improvement because only like the leads of reported performance information. So we're seeing some progress there over the years, even though there are some issues of some letters of emphasis that have been raised by the UFK General. And again, improvement on reliability, measurable of target, we're seeing some improvement there. Okay, but with respect to the annual financial statement, then the program that had been identified in previous years is still there, as the UFK General has presented, and from the leadership again, there's still that problem. Okay, I'm not going to repeat this, it's what the AG has covered. Okay, in conclusion, Chair, we are saying here, overall the program has been good over the last 8 years, with an average of over 19% of spending. Then target set for 2015-16 with respect to job structure was overachieved in a number of provinces, and narrowly missed in some provinces. However, the concern is with the provinces such as Gauteng, where the government has been bad, where 41% of target was missed. And the target set for 2015-16 were achieved in a number of provinces, but there are some worse achievers in other provinces, including Limpopo, Northern Cape, and Gauteng, including this. And then the capacity building grant, which was aimed to compete municipalities for infrastructure shifts, has been performing poorly, but now has been discontinued. And then the Commission is of the view that termination of that capacity building grant has created some uncertainty with respect to the health function shift. Furthermore, just to highlight recent developments on the revised taxation framework, which we do support, but we hope that the government could just fast track it so that the uncertainty could be addressed once and for all. Because then understand the hand of program three. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Delegation from the Financial Fiscal Commission for that presentation. Questions? Clarities? Another card.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you.
Yes, but yeah, no, I was waiting for senior entries to raise their hands. But just to start on the last point, you are mentioning that the capacity grant upon the engagement with the department has been discontinued. You may cite perhaps what were the reasons for that? And at the FSC, did you also raise your concerns? Because if I remember very well, with regard to the issue of accreditation, when we were engaging with these metros, I remember very well, it was part of the process to make sure that we capacitate these metros for them to be ready to move to the next level. So from the committee, that is from you, did you raise issues and would like to know what the department has said? Obviously, you asked this question, but I think because you are here to give us the briefing, perhaps if you can hear your concerns as well with regards to that. And what are the implications? Because I foresee huge implications, because already we're talking about metros who are not performing. And I think that capacity grant, in a way, was helping them. And I understand also, perhaps you can also share with us what are the challenges of these metros, why they cannot spend this capacity grant, because perhaps that is
the answer that you'll get from the department to say they're not spending this money. And then the second one is on page 9, with regards to the outcome performance. Other targets and actual performance 2015-16. I see in your presentation you mentioned that they're not performing well, but the slide is not clear to say where exactly they were supposed to be. I think it's on page 9 of the of your presentation. That is one thing that I would like to clarify from you, because I see that 415 format settlement upgrading plans developed, and then 76 informal settlement upgrading developed, and then that was 16.5. If you can just highlight to us to say exactly where they were supposed to be. And then the last one is the first, the gentleman who did the presentation before you have forgotten him, so the researcher. You, in your medium-term strategic framework, you mentioned that you prioritize adequate housing and improve the quality of life with approximately 1.4 million more households in new and improved housing conditions. And that framework is from 2014 to 2019. And I think I want to correct you to say, you must still work on approximation. Let's work on real figures, because the minister is saying she will develop 1.5 million housing opportunity. So I'm not sure whether this 1.4, where does this come from? I think we need to work just on one thing. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Kata. Honorable Palakara.
Thank you, Chairperson. We want to welcome the presentation by the Commission, and appreciate that they're able to respond to the issues that were raised by us during their last appearing on the portfolio committee their financial year. They've taken some time, but they've given us reasons of which we know and accept those reasons. The second point, Chairperson, most of the findings were issues that we are familiar with, that we have observed and interacted with the department during our quarterly budget presentations, and some were responded to, but we appreciate that what we have observed and raised as the portfolio committee is also being raised by the Commission. It means we are really we're happy that ourselves as members of the portfolio committee, what we observe and independent commission is also able to identify. It means we are in a right track, but we really appreciate the presentation of the commission. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Stoy.
Thank you, Chairperson. We must appreciate the presentation from the Commission. But my Chairperson, what I want to understand, during your engagement with the department, the transfer of sanitation from the department to the Department of Water and Sanitation, because it shows that there's some challenges. They actually can tell you what are the challenges that they are accounting from that transferring of sanitation. And the other Chairperson is on your slides, when you check on unemployment, the rating of unemployment of 2015 and 2016 is not at your. Do you have some figures for the unemployment of youth and the adults? Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Started with all those
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you very much to the Finance Commission. I think we are more empowered after your presentation following the AG. One area that I want to understand your understanding, because indeed in our pursuance of our oversight work, we do meet with the department and pose a lot of probing questions. And we also check the performance of programs. And we avoid a situation where there will be a bad poor performance in time. So Gauteng, Limpopo are good examples where together with agreed with the problem that looking at the time available, looking at the lack of performance at that stage, the best would be to move funds to the performing province. But you seem to be really repeating it, that Gauteng didn't perform because we took money. It's like we're not reading the same. You're not saying the same about the book. And yet we have taken money more repeatedly in the book when they were also not performing. Now, you seem to justify their lack of performance. That is where I want you to clarify us why you didn't see that these guys were not performing. And you seem to be quiet on the Bobo. You seem to see the justification for taking the amount in it. But in Gauteng, you think we must leave it there. They must rather not spend. And our duty is to ensure that the people of South Africa, we are accounting to the people of South Africa. So I just want to understand why is the commission not seeing what we see when it comes to Gauteng. So there's many clear areas of lack of performance, but you don't seem to be worried about those. I think that worries me.
Thank you very much,
Thank you very much, Chair. Just two quick points. The first one that maybe I'm missing from the presentation, it's the recommendations of the MSC. You have diagnosed what you see as the problem, but then that's all that you're giving us. You have summarized the annual report of the department, and there's no, unless maybe I'm missing it, I'm not seeing where you say, all right, if the department was to do 1, 2, 3, in our view, things were going to be much better than they are. There is conclusion, but there are no identifiable recommendations emanating from your commission. So that's something that I'm raising. Then the second and last one, and I know this is always something that the department will prize itself in, but I'm not sure whether we should put it as the best thing. I mean, this 98% spending, it's misleading actually, because what is that is the transfers. I think we are also making a mistake of looking at the transfer, at the rate of transfer. I mean, if the department transfers 100% of the monies to the municipalities and provinces, it will have spent 98%. That's what it is. It's as simple as that. Without actually spending anything, and we're not investigating, because for me, the ability of the department to spend is on that remaining 2%. Because that's the money that is in direct control on the day-to-day running of the department. But we seem to be more highlighting or putting this thing that not the department has spent 98%. Yes, who spent 98% because all the attributes are transferred. It's someone sitting in the computer and make a bank transfer or EFT to Gauteng or Limpopo or whatever. And that constitutes 98%. And I think not much is being done to look at what then remains in the department. And one of the things that, that's there is that one of the program, I think it's program three, wherein for yes, you do raise it here, and I would have expected that there's a recommendation of some sort, is that for three consecutive years, there's been under expenditure of program three. So that's in the remainder 2%. So because we're not drilling into the last 2% that the department spends on a day-to-day basis, we are under the illusion that 98% is good, but 98% is just transferred. And we I would expect that something more stringent needs to be said around that remaining 2% that the department uses on a day-to-day basis. Thank you very much.
Don't kill the lessons I gave. They just gave you the presentation. Honorable Chowdhury.
Thank you. It's a critical point that we need to engage on it in the next round. Definitely. That's an important point. But the chair is correct again. But let's hear you then on the household spending. That we identify in one of your slides here that is more on consumer. I want you to share with us your research findings on that part. Because you see, it's very important that we have that understanding that in your research, this is your finding. I'll tell you why. I come from my village is somewhere in the Malamudela area in the north. I've seen for the first time in the last 5 years, the area has changed, not only the village. The area has changed with massive development from ordinary people building their own houses. Not only the peers there, Ghana would not be in the part of the world. Not only the peers, the whole area is covered with downstory houses. Used to be villages there. That you bring in, is it on the RDP owners of houses that spend, you know, they're spending on consumable like your cell phone, hairstyle, and all of these things? Well, why do you research? Maybe you can share with us. Secondly, Chair, earlier when I raised the issue of the management plan, and I want to see with you that you have been citing the Auditor General in your engagement a lot, meaning that you have an understanding of the relationship between the general and the department. What is your take on the management plan, which the chair and the management could only offer? I must go to the department and ask for that management plan. But that management plan is a contract between the Auditor General and the department on correcting the findings. It's a contract between the AG, right, and the department. So it means that when we engage with the AG, one of the things that in their presentation would say, in regard to our findings, this is how the department is going to correct these findings and here is the plan. And that plan, that's why I was referred to the department. I'm asking you, have you ever side of that management? And that is very important, the very piece that helps us to understand at this briefing, that helps us to understand what is the understanding of the researcher. Is the department going to make the following things? If they're going to correct things, or is something that they work together between the department and the researcher? I just want to see how you come in and what is your understanding of that. If this thing is informed by a point that you raised here, on the, I think coming at the back here, so the point that you raised around the accreditation framework that has not been harmonized. I just want to see if part of this engagement between you and the department, or only analyze the annual report, there's no engagement between yourself and the department. Maybe we can find an answer around this issue of application that is not being analyzed. And you pick up those you are raising it. So meaning that you have a time for either some kind of information as to why is this thing not being analyzed. Because I would take it that when you submit the report, you're not submitting for the sake of submitting. It's something that you have engaged somehow. We learn what maybe Ghana has said as a chair, sort of clarify that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm listening. But before they respond, for me, one area that is of interest is that program three. You keep on stressing the fact that program three has been underperforming for some time. And this program is about delivering support. My interest is in your interaction with the department. What are they fighting in the cause of this underperforming? That's for interesting, so that you have an understanding in your interaction. What is it?
Thanks, Honourable Members, thanks, Jefferson, for the questions. We are trying to start as that we can. Starting, Honourable Kata, the reason for terminating the capacity grant, I think in 2012, I think, FFC made recommendations, and we've made a number of recommendations about the need to transfer the housing function. The metros. And in anticipation of that recommendation and in trying to implement that recommendation, the minister set up a committee to look at the process for this application. And during that also period, we also recommended that should be a transitional grant to assist the metros which are going to take over this function in anticipation. But unfortunately, there were new developments that came in. After having made that recommendation, I think the department, there were some new developments in the department. Again, we came to this very committee and raised the concern about these delays in the accreditation process. But the reason why the grant was eventually terminated was that in the first year of its implementation, of its introduction, it was allocated as an 100 million that it was unspent. I think there was expenditure in the grant for the next 2 years following its introduction since 2011. The treasury kept on revising down on the allocation until to a point where the treasury felt that because there's under expenditure in this grant, it should be terminated. And the agreement there was that the part of the HSDG will now then be used for they will allow the metros to use part of the HSDG for capacity. So even though the grant has been terminated, and obviously it introduces as my colleague Samuel has mentioned, uncertainty about whether the municipalities will get the function or not. But at least for now, what we know is that the HSDG can now be used by municipalities for building capacity. What are the challenges with the metros? I think Mr. Fabelo will deal with the question. Honorable Kawashi, yes, I agree with you. We seem to have noted the same issues. We are also happy that the issues that we are raising here, they are not necessarily new, but the other point is just to stress and also emphasize where we note continuous underperformance by the department, so that at least even when the committee engages with the department, you've got sufficient information about the issues that needs to be addressed.
Honorable Sitol, the issue of the transfer of the sanitation, what are the issues? I think again that when the ARIC was first introduced, I think we coming from an era where the grant was moving from one department to the other, and because of that continuous changes, there was this consistent underperformance, because when a grant moves from one department to the other, there needs to be this institutional management processes that needs to be set up before the grant start performing well. Then it's moved to another department for policy reasons. So since the grant was now being moved to the Department of Water and Sanitation, again we've also came to this committee raising concerns about the rural household infrastructure grant. But since it has moved to the Department of Water and Sanitation, we are starting to see a slight improvement in expenditure and also in the performance of the grant. But what we know is that it takes a little bit of a time before a grant is start performing to at its optimum. It usually takes about 3 to 5 years for a grant to start performing at optimum. And that's why we always recommend that before a grant is terminated or before changes are made to the grant, we first need to establish the reasons why the grant is underperforming rather than just shifting a problem from one department to the other. The rate of unemployment for 2015 and 2016, Honorable, I think you may have made an error, but it has not really, it has not changed. I think they're still sitting at about 25.5% around about the latest statistics that was released by the SBA. The housing issue, Honorable Remedy, we are not at all justifying that it should not have, the committee should not have intervened or the money should not have moved. I think the emphasis, the point that we emphasize in there is because housing is one of the provinces that is experiencing an increase in number of people migrating from other provinces. There is more pressure there. Not necessarily saying there is no other provinces don't have pressure, but housing tends to have significant pressure with respect to housing delivery, housing needs. And therefore, for housing not to spend all these allocations is obviously a concern. But again, where there is under expenditure, as we have also mentioned in the previous year when they were not able to spend their funding, we raised concerns about the effect it has on the baseline delivery targets for the province, because then it means that for the following year, if the money has moved, the province has now has got to start downwards with respect to their delivery target. Honorable Gala, the issue of the recommendations, we have made some recommendations, especially with respect to perhaps they're not as sharp as we would have wanted to be, but we have made recommendations consistently about program training. Like the department needs to identify the reasons for its performance and therefore take a corrective action. That's how far we will get all make the recommendations. I mean, ultimately it's the responsibility of the departments to adopt that recommendation. Yes, 98% is misleading. Well, what we tried to show was just to contrast between expenditure performance and also delivery performance. And we agree that a lot of the expenditure indicators for the department is mainly the transfer. But if you look at the graph that we have shown, we have actually contrasted that with the number of units that are being delivered, and we demonstrated that even though the department has been spending at 98%, but we have seen consistent declines in the outputs, especially when you look at the number of subsidized housing delivered, because that's mainly where a lot of the department's allocations are spent. We agree that
future presentations to the department and to the committee, we will drill a little bit more on that. Honorable Choki, on household spending, I think what we tend to do is to look at national average rather than look at what is happening in different villages or townships. So we look at the picture nationally, and obviously when we look at the national picture, averages are always well, they're not necessarily consistent with our individual experiences. So the report that we did with we did a report on human settlement about 2 years ago, where we looked at the entire delivery chain in the human settlement sector. And what we found there was very worrying, because we found that almost 70% of the households in the country are over infected, which then means that they cannot afford to have to have a bonded house. 70% are over invested, but again, if you look at the amount of money which the Reserve Bank always publish but it also shows that but it also shows that a lot of households are spending a lot of their money on consumer. So we can always come back with the definite statistics for the committee if that is necessary. The management plan is usually a document between the department and the AG, and we don't have access to the management plan, because the document that is agreed upon between the departments. If I have any other question, I'll ask Mr. Tanta to now also answer those questions.
Okay. Yes, I will add some few issues. Okay, just to add one household spending on consumer goods and the like. Yes, it is true. Even if now you can go and check the National Credit Regulator report, the recent one, so definitely you will see definitely that if you compare the credit that has been given to households for mortgage bonds, you will see it's decreasing, and these other credits like cars and other consumer goods, they are going up. Even the recent one that was released, I think this week, it will show that, and it has been a trend of late. And to add more on honorable Sitole, the transfer around the sanitation grants and the performance. Yes, the other thing that we've seen here, we've undertaken a study on evaluating the average performance of the direct grants versus indirect grants. Then the ARIC mostly is an indirect grant. And we also need to look at the design of this grant, because shifting a grant which is not functional in one department to another department won't make it functional. But also have to go and revisit the design of the grant. And what we've seen from the sample of the grant that we did and undertake a review on, we saw that these indirect grants, in most cases, they are underperforming compared to the direct grants. Probably we also need to revisit such things. And again, as mentioned, we had our own submission here, and I think in this committee around the transferring of the function itself. I think one issue that I need to talk is why this the municipal capacity grant was metros of government bed with respect to this grant. There are a number of reasons, because first of all, the grant, when it was established to capacitate these metros, but in the making, I think after 2 or 3 months, then the grant was stopped, but not dispersed to municipalities, to metros that were supposed to receive. It was stopped by the Minister of Human Settlement in anticipating the change of plan. To say, probably she was also thinking to say we need to change this approach of accreditation. So that's one of the reasons why, Metro didn't perform well on that grant. I don't know, I think I've covered some of the things that I wanted to add on from the previous responses.
Thank you very much. I think one appreciates the fact that from your presentation and the responses, when the commission was here last year, when you made the recommendation that there's a need for the commission to meet up with the department around the issue of accreditation, so that ultimately you are able to meet with you. One is heartened by the fact that meeting did happen. And the fact that we did not meet as with yourselves and the commissions, because obviously it was going to be useless, because we are waiting for the department to come and present what this is that they are still improving on that application. That's why that meeting never took place, because no meeting took place, and they said they are busy with this improvement. I think I want to appreciate that at least some of the things that you say must happen from the department, from ourselves, between the department and yourselves, it did take place. And I think for me, sometimes we sit in these meetings and when we talk, we think we are just talking. And some of the things really does make an impact on how certain things happen. And I really wanted to lift that thing up and appreciate the fact that it did take place. Thank you very much for coming in front of us. And I think we quite friendly. I don't know if there's anything you want to add, yeah?
Thank you so much,
Thank you very much. Now we're going to have the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation presenting to us on what they have observed, monitored and planned. That's the last presentation before we break, and then we meet up with the department.
Thank you. There are no way.